Trump and Biden vie for who is tougher on China. I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning. A key economic and trade issue was a major topic at President Trump's news conference yesterday. Trump worked to contrast his approach to China with that of former Vice President Joe Biden, his opponent in 56 days. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is here now. Trump is talking about cracking down on U.S. companies.
He is. The president is threatening to punish U.S. companies that create jobs in China and other countries. He says he'll impose tariffs on companies that, quote, desert America. Trump also says his administration will create Made in America tax credits.
And can a president do these things?
Not all of these things. Tariffs are imposed by one country on another country, not on specific companies. So it's not clear what Trump means about that. As far as the tax credits go, the administration could do that. But again, we don't have any details on how it would work or what companies would have to do to qualify.
And the two campaigns got into it over this yesterday?
They did. Each is accusing the other of being soft on China. Yesterday, Trump said China will, quote, own this country if Biden wins. Biden says Trump's phase one trade agreement was a bad deal.
And what is the situation beyond the rhetoric?
Well, Biden used to be more in favor of free trade. Now he says he'd be tough on China. And unlike Trump, he would work with other countries to create alliances to counter Beijing. As far as phase one goes, it is true that China is behind where it should be to meet its commitments to buy U.S. products like soybeans. But there's still time for it to speed up those purchases and get back on track.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you. Since you know trees don't grow to the sky, when is the right time to lock in the gains of wildly high-flying technology stocks? Many market participants decided late last week was that time, leading the NASDAQ Composite Stock Index, full of all those Facebooks, Apples, and Teslas, to fall a combined 6.5% Thursday and Friday. Maybe the Labor Day weekend was the pause that refreshes, you ask. It's not shaping up that way. Looking at the stock index futures now, the NASDAQ future is down 2.25%. Apple, for instance, down 5.7% in a week, is down another 3.2% this morning in pre-market trading. That said, stock in the crafts marketplace Etsy is up 2.6% right now, pre-market. After news on Friday, the company will be added to the S&P 500 stock index. Since many people buy the whole S&P through index funds, that means more people are likely to buy Etsy as part of that basket. For many parents trying to keep their paychecks coming, a crucial question on this day after Labor Day is when is their children's school going to reopen for classes not at home but in the school? For parents with children in child care, there are similar questions given the pandemic. From KUT in Austin, Claire McInerney reports.
Jason Gendell runs Main Spring Schools in Austin. It's a nonprofit child care center for children up to age 5, mostly from low-income families, and it's been closed since March. He's aware of how crucial his center is to those families.
We're cognizant of the fact that there's pressure on them to return to work, both for their own personal needs, basic needs, and by their, you know, employers.
The state allowed child care centers to open back in May, but the high infection rates and hospitalizations of COVID-19 in Austin this summer made Gendell wary of reopening. He's now planning to open this week. He gets funding from the local school district for educating low-income children. That funding is tied to the school calendar.
We don't have the funds to continue the way we have been.
Around 30% of child care centers in the state of Texas are closed and in danger of not being able to reopen. That's according to David Fagan, a policy associate for Texans Care for Children.
How many parents are just going to decide they're better off quitting their job and not returning to the workforce because they can't afford to send their children there or they're afraid to?
And fewer child care centers could hurt the larger Texas economy. Until now, Jason Gendell relied on a good savings account, a PPP loan of $230,000, and local grants to help pay his staff. When he reopens, he expects enrollment to drop to 50 to 70% of what it was before the pandemic. Despite that, he's going to remain fully staffed.
And so that creates an upside-down financial situation for us.
Because he'll need to have enough workers on hand if someone gets sick and needs to quarantine. In Austin, I'm Claire McInerney for Marketplace.
We'll be right back. Today is the 54th anniversary of the premiere of the original Star Trek TV show back in 1966. It ran three seasons, but then all the other Star Trek permutations followed. Given this streaming age, Marketplace's Sabri Benishore wonders if decades-long media franchises like this will ever happen again.
Some shows have had much longer runs of episodes than Star Trek. The Simpsons is entering its 32nd season. Guiding Light was on for 72 years before being canceled in 2009. Can the Netflix era produce shows that last like these?
I wonder whether we can in a time of streaming and binging.
Jeff Jarvis is professor at CUNY's Newmark School of Journalism.
Even if you look at the great shows now on premium cable, Sopranos in the day, now Succession, they have fairly short runs.
Daniel Herbert, associate professor of film, TV, and media at the University of Michigan, says in the old world, the point of a long-running show was to get it syndicated so royalties could flow in.
Whereas in a streaming world, having a long-running show is more about maintaining brand identity and subscribers.
So long-running shows should still be possible. At a minimum, the proliferation of streaming platforms means old shows have new homes and old franchises new places to reboot. The latest iteration of Star Trek, for example, is on CBS All Access. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Some of that early Star Trek was Star Drek, but I will say the next to the last episode of that first season is one of the finest science fiction pieces of all time, where Captain Kirk's love interest, played by Joan Collins, can't be saved from a traffic accident in 1930s America, where history is altered and the Nazis win the Second World War. I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.